And this is the interactive portion of the show. We're going to take your phone calls in a moment with David Wilcock right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. David Wilcock with us. We'll take your calls. David, let's get into this international alliance you were talking about. Who are these players?
Well, George, I was trying to get it done before we went on the air tonight, August 19th. It should be able to be published tomorrow, August 20th. A huge article that I'm writing right now, where I go back to Sherman Skolnick, who was a journalist on another major radio show, and he wrote a lot of articles, and he mentioned that there are about 600 flag officers in the U.S. military. Those are the people who kind of have the highest degree of rank.
Yes.
Admirals. Of those 600 flag officers, he was describing as early as like 1998, 99, that there was a plan in place to arrest Clinton for treason by trading with the Chinese and things like this. And on a more general basis, they were trying to bring down the overall oil-soaked monopoly press, as he calls it, this oil cartel control of our government. Now, this was 60 flag officers out of 600, so that's 10% of the entire command structure of the U.S. military. That was before 9/11. Since 9/11, apparently, a very significant counterinsurgency has been growing, and it now involves an alliance between the U.S. military, which is apparently a majority. It's at least 60% and possibly over 75% now, including some divisions of the military are now at 100% support of basically exposing and dismantling the Federal Reserve System, because it's private bankers, as you've heard so many times, since 1913. The dollar is now worth about 2 cents of what it was in 1913, and that's from massive inflation and just totally stripping out the wealth of the people through the dollar bubble, where they, as I reveal, you know, they stole all the gold in the world through World War I and World War II, where they actually owned both sides of the war. I talk about this extensively in the book, Synchronicity Key. And the wars were deliberately orchestrated events to plunder the central banks of the countries that were invaded and or threaten them into handing over their gold to the Federal Reserve in exchange for bonds. Now, the bonds, in some cases, have a face value of $1 billion, but the Federal Reserve specifically put mistakes in the bonds so that they would never be able to be redeemed with actual American dollars. Very recently, in this past week, Russia Today, a mainstream media outlet in Russia, has come forward with the story of these bonds. And I wrote a whole book on this in January 2012 and February of last year. And then the Russian media picked it up, and I was starred in 6 hours of documentaries, 3 hours on January 16th and 3 hours on January 30th on prime time on major network Russian television station called REN TV. And what happened was, on the same day, January 16th, that I came out with that show, Germany asked the Federal Reserve to return their gold that had been taken from them in World War II.
You call that?
That is not a coincidence.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Leo Wanta?
Absolutely.
This is a bizarre story.
Oh, it's true. I mean, look, here in Hollywood, I'm now working with Jim Hart. We're working on a movie called Convergence together. We have two of the biggest actors in Hollywood right now are looking at our script. And Jim just wrote a movie called Epic. It's a cartoon movie that's out right now. You can rent it. It's got like Beyonce and Steve Tyler and people like that actually doing the voices in the thing. It's a great movie. But before I ever met him, I was in the process of trying to find money for my film. And I met this guy who actually handed me a card. And I can't say what the card said on it, but it was obviously connected to this whole Bilderberg and Illuminati cartel. I was shocked when he showed me the card. I was shocked by the red snakeskin leather briefcase and by this weird symbol that he had on his neck, on a necklace. And he told me, I asked him, you know, who are the people that have the money that you're going to be giving me? Are they people like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Warburgs and the Astor Bundy Collins, da 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 da? He said, yes. How did you know that? And I said, well, you know, I'll just call it an educated guess. And I winked. And then he says, and I said to him, so do you know Leo Wanta? And he said, yes. I said, well, can you tell me anything about him? He said, well, Leo used to work for us, but we had a falling out.
It's a bizarre story. They call him the $27.5 trillion man.
Yeah.
That he almost single-handedly destroyed the Soviet Union, brought
them
down.
That is true. And that's one of the things that Sherman Skolnick, who I was just mentioning, wrote about extensively.
The late Sherman Skolnick.
The late Sherman Skolnick, right. That when you print money that's counterfeit and you introduce it into an economy, it will bring down a country better and faster than bombs.
Was he an ambassador?
Leo Wanta?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah, actually.
So he's alive. He's out there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, he's out there. And, you know, he's one of the people who are involved in this global situation in which, when you really get down to the core of it, many of these countries, apparently the Asian countries, 85% of the gold that the Federal Reserve is holding originally came from Asia. And there's a big, big debate now about a shift in geopolitical order that is not going to allow Asia to dominate the whole planet. So there are still business agreements being worked out in which Asia does not become the dominant power in the world just because they had more gold than everybody else did. But we are very likely going to be seeing some extremely significant political events. And by extremely significant, I mean unlike anything you could have imagined. And I think it's going to be so big that it will actually lead to an overwhelming public exposure of all the kind of stuff that your guests have been talking about on Coast for so many years. I think everybody is going to know that the world has been run by a secretive cult that is actually worshiping Lucifer and doing very nasty rituals in many cases. I think the world is going to know that these people systematically invaded seven branches of our society, including education, science, government, media, military, and that they had a very orchestrated agenda going back to at least 1776, the founding of the Bavarian Illuminati with Adam Weishaupt, and that their objective was nothing less than total world domination and control.
That's an amazing story. Let's take some calls here, David. They're all lining up for you.
Okay,
we'll
great.
We'll go to Lima, Ohio. Jessica's with us. Hey, Jessica. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to ask if there's a way that I can tell, or maybe you can tell me, who I was before and what the heck am I doing here this time?
David, you're not a hypnotherapist.
In order to do I did used to do client readings from 98 to 2005. I processed 500 clients. It does require that I do about a 7-minute hypnotic induction on myself, and I wouldn't want to do it on the air because it's really sort of a personal thing with the client. But I did have excellent success. In general terms, that is a very poignant question because who you are before or who you were before does have bearing on who you are now. But there is, thankfully, a nice cheat code in the universe, which is that whatever you really need to know, whatever was your biggest stumbling blocks in other lifetimes, will happen again. If you go back to my original video, the 2012 Enigma, which was the number one most viewed video on all of Google on December 1st, 2008, that's how I ended up meeting Jim Hart, the guy that wrote Contact in the first place.
Right.
Because I mentioned Contact in the story. And I mentioned The Last Mimsy, which he also wrote, and he was blown away that I didn't realize that he'd written both of those movies. But anyway, in that 2012 Enigma video, if you go to the beginning, you see all these photo comparisons of myself as Edgar Cayce and then all these other people that were the closest associates of Edgar Cayce who were the closest associates with me. And I've now found about four more of those, and I've kept it very secret. I'm not revealing who these people are because I don't want them to be harassed. But it's astonishing that reincarnation, when you actually figure out who you were, there's a startlingly accurate face match. There's character matches. And the weirdest thing is, in the cycles of history, that in the case of there's certain specific historical personas I identified. That includes Hitler. It includes Jimmy Carter. It includes Richard Nixon, where we have the same people doing the same things at the same point in both cycles, and they look the same.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is amazing.
And I'm talking to the guy who's the reincarnated Edgar Casey.
Well, I mean, there's pretty good evidence that I was, you know, same abilities, same look.
Do you think you are?
Same astrology. I think that insofar as people are capable of believing in reincarnation, this is as good of a case as any I've seen. And it's very strange that I've been able to identify, gosh, it's probably 9 or 10 people now that were Casey's closest associates who magically reappeared in my life. Some of the ones that reappeared took a long time to figure out, but then once I saw it, it was like, oh my God, how did I miss this for so long? Because here's the deal, and this is the answer to Jessica's question, really. The people who are in your life, especially now that we're at the end of this 25,000-year cycle where it all comes to a head, the people who are in your life are the same people that you've had before. Almost guaranteed. The people who are your family members, the people who might be close to you at work, the people who you've been in romantic relationships with, almost always are people you've had in other lifetimes in your life very poignantly.
Yeah, I agree.
And you can get a hypnotic regression. I encourage people to look for the ways to get those, and you will see in many cases in a regression who these people were in other lifetimes and who you were. So it is possible to get that information. You do have to work for it, but it is possible to get that information.
Let's go to the United Kingdom. Dan's with us via Skype. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hello, George. Hello, David. Just before I ask my question, I totally concur with what you just said, David. It's true. I've recognized many people in this lifetime, and I have quite a memory regarding past lifetimes. But the reason I called up is because I'm a little bit out of my depth with some experience I've been having with regards instantaneous synchronicity that I wanted to share with you, and hopefully you might be able to shed some light on them.
Sure.
For about over 10 years now, I've been practicing my own type of meditation, which is based on kind of pure intuition. And I've had over 100 experiences now, and I'm no joke, where every time I enter an altered state through my meditation, my environment synchronizes around me, and it includes anything outside in my environment. It includes even creaks in the building, and it includes, and this is the bizarre part, media and even recorded media. And it's
Absolutely.
Happened so many times now, David, that I have to accept it as part of a reality, as a truth. And I'm a bit blown away about it, obviously, but I don't know what to do with it. I don't know where to take it. I know it's happening. I know it's kind of like, is it supernatural to some extent? But I'm kind of out of my depth, and I really don't know.
Well, I've had similar things. You remember the song Celebration by Kool and the Gang?
Of course we do.
Where it goes, dit, 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 right? There's that horn hit. I actually was listening to that song and emotionally involved. It was a song similar to Celebration, but I'm using it as a simpler example that people are familiar with. But the point is, I was listening to a song like that. It was a Phil Collins song that had a horn section in it, and it had a similar type of horn hit. And right as the horn hit came in the song and I was looking forward to hearing it, somebody driving the other way in their car honked their horn exactly the same way at exactly the same moment. And like Dan just said, I've had many, many of these experiences where the actual environment around you talks to you and it actually is synchronized with your thoughts. Now, that does, in the conventional mindset, and by conventional I mean cabal manipulated, because there is a cabal out there and they don't want you to awaken. They need you to be ignorant, and they want the knuckle-dragging, drooling troglodytes. They do not want intelligent-thinking people, because intelligent-thinking people will not subject themselves to tyranny for very long. When you start to have these synchronicities happen, it reveals that universe is a lot more magical than you think and that you've been taught to believe. And instead of looking at yourself with judgment and saying that you're crazy, and Dan, I can tell you're not thinking you're crazy. You've said this is happening over and over again. But here's the deal. Your resistance wears down, and instead of continually saying, boy, I wonder if that was a synchronicity, you start saying, okay, that was. What does it mean for me? And there never really was a book before that talks you through this in the detail and the wonderment that my book does. I'm really happy to have been able to accomplish this. It's phenomenal that I pulled it off and that it came out so well.
How long did this book take you?
Really, the core of the development was 3.5 years. I started writing this book in 2010 very intensely after spending probably about the previous 3 years putting the information together in my notes. I started the actual production in 2010, spent most of the year 2010 writing this book, but then realized that I wasn't smart enough to actually write about the cycles of history yet. I boiled it down to about 120 pages, but all those pages ended up being cut when I wrote Source Field Investigations because we had to get it down to 500 pages and something had to go. And then I ended up deferring writing it, and I didn't really pick it up again until the end of 2012 after the Mayan calendar end date came and went. And I said, okay, if we're not getting some magic cosmic ascension at the end of 2012, what else do we know about all this information? Because there's obviously something here. The investigation is so comprehensive and so vast, there's got to be something here. So what else do we know? And I said, let's go back and look at the actual cycle that ended in 2012. Let's go back and look at the fact that all these researchers have found out that time is repeating in subdivisions of that cycle. And that's when I really went back and said, okay, let's look at 9/11, let's look at the prophecies, and let's look at how these prophecies are going to come true. And I prognosticated in the book that we were going to see disclosure starting very soon. And in fact, it already is with the NSA stuff. And as I've been predicting, it's going to get a lot more intense, and it's building up to some very significant geopolitical events that will be amazing. I mean, they might be scary when they first happen, but I don't think that's going to last very long.
No, probably not. Not probably. Hey, let me ask you a quick question before the break.
Yeah.
Your take on what's going on in Egypt, but I want it from your philosophy.
I actually think that Egypt, to some degree, may be sort of like a cosmic blueprint of what this whole transitional stage will be like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, revolutions are nasty. They're not always pretty. And I mean, we're talking about the most entrenched organized crime cartel in the history of Earth. We're talking about a group that has systematically compromised the organs of military, politics, finance, media, education, and science. How the hell do you bring them down? It's not easy. It requires widespread awareness so that when the final events are taken and the actions that need to be done are taken by the people who need to take them, that the public will actually support it and not think of it as some horrible Illuminati takeover of the government. But it seems, and I'm not judging this, I'm not trying to say that there should be a revolution. What I'm telling you is that other people are apparently planning something like this, and this is an international alliance. Most of the world outside of the white European countries that are the oligarchs running the show here for the cabal, you know, you got basically all of South America, all of Africa, except for maybe one or two holdouts, pretty much all of Southeast Asia, China, Russia. It's just about everybody except for a handful of Western European countries and the U.S.
We're coming back with final questions with the man, David Wilcock, on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's been a while since I've talked with Lori Toy, and she will be our guest on our next Coast to Coast program. And she, of course, is bringing us some fascinating information about Ascended Masters. That'll be our next Coast to Coast show. David, so if history repeats itself, what could be the next major event here?
Well, George, just in the last 2 or 3 days, we've had a soldier that comes forward and says that the British military apparently assassinated Princess Diana. That's huge.
Huge story. Strange story.
We have the U.S. military drugging its own soldiers. We have the government officially admitting that Area 51 is real.
They just admitted through CIA old documents that they were the ones involved in the upheaval of Mohammed Mossadegh
in
Iran.
1953.
Yep.
There's an attack piece that just came out against JFK that's making LBJ sound like the good guy, and then LBJ did all the things that Kennedy was only paying lip service to. All this stuff, to me, is part of a grander, organized effort by this alliance, and a lot of it is computer hackers in the U.S. military. The Anonymous group apparently has a lot of U.S. military operatives in it. I think Snowden is only one example. It recently came out that he was planning on this all the way back when he worked for Dell, and the NSA apparently was Dell's client. So I think this is all part of an orchestrated effort. We've seen very big lawsuits against major banks. We're seeing the huge LIBOR scandal that came out last year that nobody knows what the heck to do with, because it's now public knowledge that all of the financial system is being rigged by the biggest banks. We had the very groundbreaking Glatfelter scientific study that came out in 2011, where they showed that a small group of only about 147 corporations are literally controlling about 80% of all the wealth in the world. And of those 147, the top 50, about three quarters of them are financial institutions, and you go to the top of the list and they're all the Federal Reserve Bank companies.
Sure, of course.
So the whole thing has been exposed, and I'm hoping that this group will step down without bloodshed, because it could be ugly, you know. And when I say ugly, I mean we could see the airports shut down in America for a while. We might even see communications shut down for a while. We may see federal marshals that are making arrests. They may be helped by UN troops to do this, because this is an international alliance. So things could get pretty wild, and people might be really freaked out. It could be traumatic at first. But I think that in order for it to succeed, they first have to establish such a strong criteria where the public realizes this has to be done, that it will actually be able to be supported. Because, frankly, I don't know about you, George, but I'm ready to see dollars printed by the U.S. Treasury, backed by our own collateral of the wealth of resources that we have in this nation.
That's a great idea.
Yes, and not have to be beholden to foreign bankers that we're paying astronomical interest for, and they're propping up their own banks by writing $26 trillion of bailouts. That's the real number. I mean, the trillion-dollar bailout thing, the TARP, was nothing. When Senator Alan Grayson and Ron Paul and a couple others audited the Federal Reserve, forced them to release the books, it came out to between $26 and $29 trillion of American money that they just printed. Now, that number is hard to wrap your head around, because the whole amount of money that is made on Earth in a given year is only a little over $60 trillion. That's about half the money that everybody made on Earth for one year that they printed and gave to themselves of American money. And that is absolute treason against the people. It's treason against the planet. And, George, a really big part of this is, what are they hiding about who's out there and who's who in the zoo? Are we alone in the universe? Well, they knew the answer at least back in the Roswell crash. And I've had insiders tell me that ETs have been in contact with American presidents going back for a century. There's been open contact with every American president and human extraterrestrials that materialize in his office throughout the entire 20th century.
Let's take some final calls here for you.
Sure.
We've got Jeff in Cleveland. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, George and David. I'm surprised, George, that you didn't play anything off the Police's Synchronicity album.
Oh, he did,
actually.
Yeah, we did. You missed it.
Yeah, right at the beginning he did. It was great.
Oh, that was off that. I didn't know that was off that album. So, okay, never mind.
Okay.
I got a couple of really fast quickies before I talk about my synchronicity issue. First of all, I want every listener out there to think very heavily about stopping these wildfires, because if there's any truth to the 100th monkey theorem, concentration by massive amounts of people can make things happen.
How about rain there too?
Well, yeah, that too. Well, in Idaho, they're talking about that they're supposed to be getting some rain, so that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
Second, I have real quick, because you're coming to Cleveland, you're actually coming to Lakeland College in Kirtland. Kirtland, as the story goes, is the original location for Joseph Smith's church. And he got kicked out of there because the citizens believed that what he was doing was running a cult. And then, of course, he went out to Salt Lake City and founded the...
And the rest is history.
Saints. So I thought you might be interested in hearing that.
Okay, thank you.
Now, as far as the synchronicity is concerned, I've been dogged by this for at least 25 years in various forms. But the one that has hit me the most often, and it's happened on more than a handful of occasions, is I'll suddenly get a wild hair that I'll decide to listen to some music that I haven't listened to in ages.
Right.
And then something happens tragically to somebody in the band. Either they get injured severely or they die or something like that. And this has happened, like I said, on more than a handful of occasions. And anytime I get that hair and I decide that I want to listen to something that I haven't listened to in 10 or 15 years, it always makes me nervous that there's going to be something I hear shortly thereafter.
Well, so check this out. In the book, I actually am describing how Roman history reiterates itself as American history very precisely. And I also talk about how there's a story behind how these events take place that's called the hero's journey. It's a pattern of events that every Hollywood screenplay and every ancient myth uses. And I had to learn that to write movies for Hollywood, which is the movie I'm working on called Convergence. So I talk about the Beatles, and I mention how very shortly after the Kennedy assassination, the Beatles all of a sudden become extremely popular from an appearance on Ed Sullivan. And then the Beatles sort of turned against their creators by creating all these songs that promoted peace and a positive revolution. All You Need Is Love, Imagine, you know, by John Lennon, all these kind of songs were amazing. And I speculate in the book that they may actually be duplicating stuff that the same guys did back in Roman history. And perhaps if we get enough accurate historical knowledge, then we would know that. So it's possible that these people in another cycle of time were musicians before, and they're repeating the same thing. And you may be sensing when their cycle comes up based on this fact that time is actually not linear, it's cyclical, and the same things keep happening. Just a thought out there.
Okay, next up, we go to Ray in Birmingham, Alabama. Ray, go ahead. You're on with David Wilcock.
Hey, George, great show tonight.
Thank you. Really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you.
I had a question about karma. I've had some bad things happen since the 17th. I lost a tip in my little finger. I broke two fingers. I was having to do a workman's comp thing where I was in a light-duty job, and wound up losing the job today. And I've tried to have been great and kind to everybody. I've never done anything. I'm trying to figure out, is this something from a past life, or is it just something that's going on to where I can see something? Because I basically, to be honest with you, if I hadn't had all these accidents to begin with, I'd never be listening to George at night. So, really, that's the only reason.
He's keeping you up all night, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I can't sleep, so I want to see. I want to hear something interesting. And the fact that I lost my job, the reason was this, like when he said, she said crap, it was really nothing that I really did. And the only reason the girl gave that one of the things she said, she hated the conversation topic that I had at work. And my conversation topic was what I heard on George the other night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was so weird. And the thing about synchronicity, all my life, I've kind of experienced that where you could be sitting there and watching TV, and all of a sudden you say something, and the next thing out of your mouth, the TV might answer the question you had asked the question. Obviously, you might hear the answer coming off a TV or something.
Right.
And
you raise a really good point, and I want to make sure that this gets said before we run out of time, because I'm looking at the clock on. Yikes, we're almost out of time. But let me say this: it's very significant. Karma is not judgment. When you get, you said that you broke your finger and that you cut the tip off your little finger, and I really am sorry that that happened to you.
Ouch.
I'm sure it's a horribly painful thing. I had my big toe on my right side shattered on December 21st, the night of the Mayan calendar end date, actually. And I'm still not entirely over it.
That's pain,
David. Long time.
Yep.
And what I can say, though, is that, and I do talk about karma in the book, and I do talk about the underlying benevolent nature of karma. It is not meant to punish you. Nobody's up there snickering and laughing at you and judging you. It's meant to restore you to balance. And I had a case when I got horrible poison ivy, and I actually, it got infested in the worst place that poison ivy could happen for a man. Let's just say that. George, you probably know what I'm talking about.
No, I've never had it there, David.
Well, if you cut the weeds down and then you try to take a pee, that's about how it happens. But Anyway, it was horrible. It was so bad. And next thing you know, I am thinking, okay, what the heck did I do that caused this to happen? And the only thing I could come up with is that there was only one person in my life who I wasn't being kind to and I wasn't being loving towards, and that was myself. And so, believe it or not, you can actually get karma by not standing up for yourself and not protecting yourself and not being honorable to yourself.
Maybe you just should have worn long pants.
Maybe so. Who knows?
That would have done it. All right, let's go to Scott in Duarte, California. Hey, Scotty, go ahead.
Hey, yeah. This is a great topic. My question was, well, one of the things is my family had inherited a trust from a great aunt quite a few years back,
mm-hmm.
and it involved over 1,000 gold mine claims in Colorado, mm-hmm. up in the Rockies, and one of the mines was called the Glory Hole, and the estimate from the USGS was a minimum of $5 billion.
Wow.
And as high as they thought it was, as high as $14 billion.
Did you ever reclaim that?
Oh, it's still
litigation.
Yeah. It's been insane.
A lot of those kind of gold claims have been suppressed because they do not want anything to compete with the fiat money of the U.S. dollar backed by nothing.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of these gold things offered to me, too, spectacular amounts of gold, and I didn't invest in any of them because I saw it as a setup that would have framed me as a public figure, so I did not go for it. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and, well, it turns out that, well, the people who were taking it from us were a couple of crooked judges out of Texas down there on the border of Mexico, and they sued our, at that time, trustee over personal dealings between him and them. It had nothing to do with our trust, and it was over a $50,000 deal that they had. Mm. Anyways, they got through the Sister State Act. They were able to somehow take control of our trust. And my question...
I'm really sorry to hear that, man. It's horrible.
Let's get the question in before the clock
ends. Okay.
Go ahead.
And I got this phone call from a mysterious guy saying, because it ran in the LA Times and a lot of other newspapers around the country, a mysterious phone call from a guy saying, I can't tell you who I am, but Scott, it goes a lot higher than these judges. And
oh, I think that echoes what you're saying, David.
Yes. What Scott is describing, he is, you know, everybody kind of gets little bits and pieces in their own life of how the cabal has influenced our society, whether it's the UFO cover-up or whether it's financial tyranny. We're all, each of us have a story to tell. Each of us has a piece of the puzzle. And part of the puzzle is the suppression of gold in the interest of creating money backed by nothing but hot air. Everybody got hit by the 2008 financial crisis. Money, you know, investments basically lost about 50% of their value. And I do think things are going to turn around. I mean, everybody probably has heartbreaking financial stories right now. It seems to be prevalent. But I do think that as we go through this change that is actually mandated by the cycles of time themselves, all the way back to this, as I said, galactic blueprint from an intelligent living cosmos, the ancients knew not only what was going to happen, but exactly when it was going to happen. And that does go all the way back to Atlantis, as I said, the Zoroastrians and the Hindus. They wrote out exactly what was going to happen and when. And so people on Earth are taking actions that appear to be completely the product of their own free will, and what they're actually doing, and this includes the patriots in the U.S. military and Russia and this international alliance, they are fulfilling a cosmic blueprint that is older than time itself. It's older than the Earth's entire existence, and it's meant to steer us into a beautiful golden age where we will have Stargate travel UFO spacecraft, and we'll have anti-gravity, and we'll have time travel, and we'll have an ascension, actually, that takes place where the human being is able to merge with light and become a light body rather than a biological life form. Many of these ancient myths describe that that's where this is going, and that's the peak of it. And I'm just really happy to do my part to put these pieces together. It was totally amazing as I saw it all come together over the course of this year as I wrote the book. And I'm very excited, George, that you brought me on the show to talk to people about this because, you know, I don't even feel worthy of this information. I feel like I'm just standing humbly before a great mystery, and I've solved this puzzle that I didn't even think could be solved, honestly. I was terrified to try to write this book before, but I found a way to make it accessible and fun, and it's not overly complicated, and it spells it out very clearly what's going on, why it's happening, and what does it mean for us, not only on the collective level, but the personal journey of ascension, the personal choices that we make each day of how we're going to live a more ethical and moral life, and how that in turn affects our cosmic evolution, because the payoff for being a good person is so much bigger than people realize that it's mind-blowing, because literally, if you're ready, I believe you will be able to ascend to the next level of human evolution. And I know, George, when I appeared with you on your show, Beyond Belief, we did a whole show just on the rainbow body and this transformative process.
And it's out there. David, good luck with this work, The Synchronicity Key. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, George Knapp, John B. Wells, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.